Welcome to Star Trek Comic Book Review. Our several-year mission will be to boldly go where no podcast has gone before. We will be reviewing every Star Trek comic book ever published. These stories have been released by Gold Key, Marvel, DC, Malibu, Wildstorm, Tokyo Press, IDW, and others. Star Trek and all that the Star Trek universe contains is copyrighted by CBS Studios, Inc.
Hello and welcome to Star Trek Comic Book Review Presents, episode number 443, recorded January 26th, 2025.
So at the time of recording, we're pretty much all caught up with Star Trek. So today we're doing a crossover of Battlestar Galactica versus Battlestar Galactica.
So the TOS versus the reboot.
Exactly. Exactly. Hmm. Although you keep calling it TOS, and I can't do it. So in my head, it's classic Battlestar, reboot Battlestar.
It's the original series, man.
I get it, but TOS will always be Star Trek. Okay, because you've done it before on Lost in Space too. Like, oh,
sure,
TOS,
yeah,
Lost
yeah.
in Space, TOS, and it's I'm like, TOS. No. That's original Lost in Space. TOS is always Star Trek. But
okay, so you're going to have a different term for each of the original series. Classic, original, never TOS, old. You'll have a different word for every series that gets rebooted. Okay, I got it.
OG.
OG, there you go. OG.
So this is miniseries, lasted 6 issues, Dynamite Comics, and written by Peter David, who's one of my favorite comic book and novelists, authors. So
yeah,
I was really happy to see his name pop up on this.
Well, that was a bonus, right? I mean, we talked about the idea of doing Battlestar, and then you started looking through the books. And you noticed that there was this and that. And then we said, oh, that sounds great. And then you found out that Peter David was the writer. So it's like, it's all falling into place.
Right.
It's all falling into alignment. This is great. This is a great choice. Except for the fact it is 6 issues. So.
Yeah.
The first 2 issues are good. It's good. But it's pretty much set up. So.
And I'm going to be honest, I had a hard time not cracking open that 3rd issue and keep reading. I really had to stop myself because I am really enjoying the first 2 issues. So,
yeah, it's good. It's good.
It hooked me for sure.
Well, when I was a kid who was a Star Wars addict, I had seen Star Wars probably like 7 or 8 times in the theater. And then, of course, never missing an opportunity to capitalize on that. The TV show, Glenn Larson, Battlestar Galactica. Boy, this looks a lot like Star Wars. And I really enjoyed it. I was younger then, and I enjoyed the heck out of it. And then it never was that success. I mean, the ratings kept dropping off, apparently. It started big, and then over time it started... The ratings went down and it didn't last that long. And then they remade it into what, Battlestar
Galactica 1980.
Or Galactica 1980.
Yeah.
With Kent McCord and some guy I recognize, but I have no idea what his name is.
Right.
So Kent McCord as Boxy. So as Apollo's son.
Oh, is he supposed to be supposed to be Boxy? I didn't know.
Yeah. And then that didn't last. And it's like, it was gone. It's like, okay, fine, whatever. Didn't think about it that much. And then they rebooted it on Sci-Fi Network. And oh my God, that is superior. The reboot series is so superior in just about every way to the original show. It's just amazing.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. Yeah, my experience since I'm a little younger is different. So for me, the first show came out. And to me, it was just,
I get new toys that look like Star Wars because I was all into Star Wars.
Exactly.
But as a kid, I could not tell you the plot at all. I mean, it was just they have these cool ships. The robot guys have little laser eyeballs. You know, it was just like that's all I cared about. And then, like in my 20s, before the reboot, I started watching the classic stuff, and I could not get into it. I was just like, oh, it's just so hokey, and they spend so much time launching the fighters and stuff that I could not get into it. Even though I watched quite a few episodes on sci-fi, but I wasn't a big fan. Then watched obviously the reboot and loved it. But now I went back and watched some of the old ones just to kind of prepare for this. Mm-hmm. And it's fantastic, man. It was so good. I was just like, yeah, the special effects are dated, but the story's really good. And the acting's a little overacting, but overall I was like really impressed with the show. I mean, it's just like very low budget, but I would put it up there with, you know, Star Trek and stuff like that. Just, it was a good TV show. They were doing what they could for what they had. But yeah, I really enjoyed it for the few episodes I watched this week. So I'm kind of seeing it as in a new light that I'm like, hey, it's not as bad as I remember from when I tried to watch it in my 20s.
Okay, cool. Okay, that's interesting. Now, mind you, I haven't watched an episode in a long time, but I do remember a lot of what happened. Not everything, obviously, but like you just told me before we started recording, something that I did not remember at all. So that's cool. But I seem to remember in the original 2-hour pilot or whatever, that they just had almost their entire race wiped out. The 12 colonies wiped out. 95% of humanity is dead, and they're on the run for their lives. So what do? They go to Space Vegas. That's what they did. They went to Space Vegas.
Yeah. They had to have a cantina scene, yeah.
And then after a while, what they did is they just started remaking movies, but for Battlestar Galactica. So there was an episode that was so obviously a remake of The Guns of Navarone. So they would just take existing ideas, existing scripts for different things, and they just make a BSG version of it. So, you know, so that's great. You had that great experience. And I should probably watch it again. But I just don't. Yeah. As an adult looking back, I remember the writing wasn't the greatest, but.
Yeah. But so you're kind of in the boat. You're in the boat I was 20 years ago when I tried to watch it back then. But I don't know. Maybe if you watch it now, you'll like it more like I did, because I really enjoyed it. But yeah, and one of the things I think it has over the reboot was there was other alien civilizations out there. The Cylons were actually another race, not not a AI thing that went rogue that we created. You know, it was it was its own, you know, their own cultures and stuff like that, which I don't know why they decided to do that. I guess just so that they would feel more isolated and the trek to Earth would be more important. You know, they did not have the option of just going to Space Vegas and hanging out for the rest of their lives. but I do kind of like how in classic they have the, you know, you could have the same Star Trek type tropes where you go to the alien colony the alien colony or whatever and meet up with new aliens and have a story like that. But yeah, it's very much in the same vein as Lost in Space and Star Trek, I thought, but with a Star Wars sheen to it, with the little ships and stuff. But no, I enjoyed it. I might finish off the series. I mean, it's only one season. But yeah, I enjoyed what I watched this week.
Well, I would definitely put it in the vicinity of Star Trek more than Lost in Space. Because Lost in Space took itself seriously for the first season or so, and then
you know, that's
just
all I've ever watched. I've only watched like the first two seasons.
Well, those were the good ones.
I've only seen the black and white seasons. I've never seen any of the colors though.
Okay, I thought there was only one season that was black and white, but I'm not sure.
Well, then I've only seen one.
Yeah, but so I've seen interviews of like, I forgot his name, but the guy that played Dr. Smith and stuff. And the whole, the network really forced a lot of changes on that show. So it was Robot, Will Robinson, and Dr. Smith was brought to the fore. And then pretty much the rest of the characters were just shoved in the back. And it was kiddie time.
So, yeah.
At least right. in the later
ones. Yeah, I have heard that.
Yeah. I mean, the first season, they took themselves as, you know, relatively serious sci-fi. So that was good. It was much better. Yeah. Anywho, shall we get started with these guys?
Yeah, let's do it.
ESG issues? Great. Okay, so Dynamite BSG versus BSG, issue number one, and published date is January 2018. Creative team is writer Peter David, artist Johnny Desjardins. I have no idea if I just said that right, but going with it. The colorist is Mohan, one name, okay. Letterer Taylor Esposito, and there are a lot of people on the credits. So, but I'm going to do is talk about four editors. Do they really need four editors? They got four editors. Executive editor, Joe Rybrandt. Senior editor, Matt Idelson. Associate editor, Anthony Marquis. Assistant editor is Kevin Katner. And maybe they needed four guys because the senior editor was Matt Idelson. So he was idle. He didn't do anything. I don't know. Anyway. That's just a joke. I have no idea about the guy. 13 covers. They got a lot of covers. Cover A presents Starbuck aiming his blaster at a threat while his cape blows in the wind. Background is made up of over, you know, like a bunch of Cylon heads and shoulders, and they're all overlapped into almost like a wallpaper kind of thing. And that is by John Cassaday and Laura Martin. Cover B features a buxom lizard lady in a metal bikini standing next to Commander Kane, who has his blaster out with an evil look on his face. Starbuck appears to be, at least I think it's Starbuck, appears to be unconscious at his feet, at their feet. Immediately behind them is a Viper, probably Starbucks, and further in the background is a burning planetary surface. And that one is by Johnny Desjardins and Mohan. Cover C presents an image of the two versions of Adama, but in toy figure form. And these two toy, you know, action figures are in their, you know, hanging pegged packaging. And of course, one is the Lauren Green version and the other is the Edward James Olmos version. And that one is by Michael Adams. Cover D is similar. So, but in this case, the two action figures are of Baltar. So you've got the John Colicos one, which is the Taz one. And then the other one is James Callis, who was the reboot version. And that one, again, is by Michael Adams. And just because you can't get too much of action figures, cover E presents an image of the two versions of Cylon Centurion toy figures. And again, it's in the peg packaging. So there you go. Cover F presents two versions of the lead characters of both BSG Taz and the reboot. You got Adama, Apollo, and Starbuck. And although I got to say that in the reboot, the girl, that could be the Asian girl, although you'd think it would be Starbuck to go just so they would match off. Anyway, she's got dark short hair. And I know I forgot her name, but there was an Asian lady who was also in the reboot, who was a warrior. Anywho, Cover G presents the TAWS and reboot versions of Cylons Centurions facing each other with a fiery background in between them. Or a fiery background, and there's kind of like some kind of a metal latticework between them. I don't know. And that one's by Roberto Castro and Alex Grimares. Cover H presents, again, kind of like a TAWS versus reboot split cover. So on the left is all the original series Cylons and characters and Vipers. And then on the right-hand side is, again, Centurions and then the reboot Galactica. And there's a blonde lady there on the right who I don't know. Maybe I guess it's Starbuck. I'm not 100% sure. Anyway, and then the TAWS Galactica is on the bottom and it's straddling both sides of the cover. So there you go. Cover I is the virgin version of cover A. Cover J is the black and white version of cover F. Cover K is the black and white version of cover B. Cover G is the black and white version of cover A. Cover L is the black and white version of cover G. And then the final one, cover I is the black and white version of cover A. Okay, that's all the covers. In the BSG original series universe, after saving the Galactica and the civilian fleet, the Pegasus is taking a beating from four Cylon base stars. Though one of the base stars has been taken out, and another one with significant damage, the Pegasus is outnumbered and close to being destroyed. Somewhere else in a quiet stretch of space, the Pegasus re-enters normal space, beaten and bloody, but still in one piece. Commander Kane gets a status report telling him the engines barely made the jump that saved them, and they are low on fuel. The hull has severe damage, but repair crews are jumping onto making repairs. Kane assumes Adama took them for dead, so they have time to make their repairs, all the repairs they need. Weeks later in his headquarters, Kane gathers his thoughts and writes a letter to his daughter Sheba, who is on Galactica now. He writes that he wants to give up command and all this stress. The constant fighting and the losses to the Cylons are the last thing he wants to deal with right now. Iolas, Kane's XO, enters his quarters asking when he will return to the bridge. He mentions the possibility of Kane meeting his daughter again on Earth. Kane scoffs at the idea. The legendary Earth is a real place. Kane is called up to the bridge, where he sees on the view screen a reptilian female alien that seems to know what humans are and is asking for their help. She wants Kane to come down to the planet she is on because she wants to leave. She wants to go wherever the humans are going, a place called Earth. Kane goes down to the planet in a shuttle with two red shirts over the objections of his XO. The planet's surface is lifeless, but they find a huge hole in the ground that they conjecture is where the coordinates the alien gave them lead. They find a place to land, and Kane gets out to look around. Kane is called by the Pegasus, reporting Cylon Raiders have dropped out of nowhere and are attacking. As Kane orders them to launch Vipers, a strange female alien in a metal bikini steps forward out of the white mist and apologizes for the attacks on his ship, since the Raiders are likely here for her. Kane says she is safe now and asks her name and the name of her race. She replies, "Callie, and I am a Cylon." Dun-dun-dun. She clarifies that it is her race that constructed the robotic Cylons. In fact, her mate is directly responsible for their construction. She objected, said they were dangerous, but received physical abuse in return. She says she fled her home world and ended up here. Kane asks how she could know about Earth. She replies the human who found her told her. A man's voice from behind Kane says, "That would be me." Kane draws his blaster and turns. He recognizes the man and is knocked unconscious from behind. Kane's XO reports over comms that the Cylons have all turned tail and are running. The shuttle pilot, or maybe the mysterious human who knocked Kane out, responds, saying the commander is away, but he will be told. The XO asks who hailed them. The alien replies to thin air and says she is the last of the Cylons and she has such plans for them. Cut to Galactica, where Sheba is trying to record a message to her father, Commander Kane. She is cut short when battle stations sound. They are under attack from Cylon raiders, but the attack ship's configurations are the likes of which they have never seen before. Apollo and Starbuck lead a strike force of Vipers who engage the attackers. Sensors pick up strange radiation readings that are off the chart. On the Galactica Bridge, Sheba comments it's like a sun is forming right in front of them. Adama recalls all fighters, thinking they will likely need to jump away any minute. What appears to be a wormhole comes into existence before them. The fleet is drawn into the wormhole. Cut to the reboot, BSG Universe. Admiral Adama, the Edward James Olmos version, looks in astonishment and asks, "What is that and where did it come from?" To be continued in The Field of the Lord.
So a wormhole is a wormhole. That's how they're going to do it.
Yeah, which is not the first time. So it's an old trope or an old mechanism that you see used a lot, but whatever.
Yeah, it would have been. I mean, that when we started doing this, we were like, "Well, I wonder what they're going to use as their explanation as to how these two are going to get together." And part of me was like, "I hope it's not a wormhole." And then, of course, that's what it is.
It's so handy,
right?
I mean, other things you got to work hard for, and the wormhole, it's easy.
So in your head canon, is it two separate universes, or is the reboot universe just another cycle of a continuation of the original?
Oh, what an interesting question. That's a very interesting question. Although I think the reboot kind of hinted that kind of like the first one, like the original Battlestar Galactica was kind of sort of the first time the Cylons attacked and they were repulsed. I think they're totally separate incarnations of the same idea, but I do not believe they are two. You bring up an interesting point. Okay, so the whole point of, or the way the reboot series ended, which was very good, is they played the old everything's a cycle. Everything that's happened will happen again, and it's just going to go over and over again. People are going to, in the future, people will be making, now here on Earth, people are going to be getting advanced, and they're going to be making robots, and it's going to happen all over again. So I appreciate your idea that maybe this is part of another loop. I don't think so, but what do you think?
Yeah, that's the way I like to think of it as, mm-hmm. as is that it's two different cycles, right? So all of creation mm-hmm. happens. It's inevitable mm-hmm. that we'll colonize the stars. Cylons will destroy us and we'll try to come back. And then basically eventually the cycle, another big bang, and we'll have another rebooted universe and it'll happen again. So in my head canon, it's two different loops of the same universe. It's just like...
Yeah.
the events of the Galactica 80 happened, and then at some point the universe rebooted itself with a big bang, and eventually we got to the Galactica reboot.
Okay, but just to mention, you don't need a big bang. I mean, you're not literally saying big bang.
No, I'm saying that the way I took it, it was just that it was the whole universe, you know, eventually reboots itself. And I think that's what they said, right? I mean, it happened and it'll happen again, just slightly different.
Okay, but the way they left it with BSG, or the reboot, is you're in your universe, right? Humans make Cylons. Cylons rebel and destroy. And then a small bit of humanity makes it to Earth. They start populating with the locals. And you did, and then you're already in the 20th century or something in the last episode.
Right.
And it's going to happen again. So you didn't need it was all teed up to happen. You didn't need a big bang of the universe. It's kind of like it's something that keeps happening, but it's all the same universe.
So we never colonize the stars. The colonies are Earth. We just start calling it something different, and then eventually we'll get destroyed and go after the mythical Earth that might be out there and find another planet and start over.
Yes.
Calling it Earth.
Well, that's what happened in the reboot show.
Yeah, that is one way to look at it. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Whatever. I mean, you know, quite frankly, there's this whole idea that there's always like loops going on. To me, is sometimes overdone. Because that whole Stephen King thing with the gunfighter, or the gunslinger,
Dark Tower.
Exactly. So the Dark Tower series. So that ended the same. Doing the whole loop thing. So this is all going to happen again. It's a little overused, quite frankly, to some degree. So I was kind of a little disappointed when they ended the series as another loop thing, because it was like, I've seen this so many times.
Right.
But yeah, it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. I mean, they set it up so well for that idea. I mean, when they finally did go to Earth, it's like 200, you know what, like 100,000 years ago or something, while, you know, when our ancestors are still, or not thousands, you know, maybe a couple million years ago when we were still like a little primitive and hairy and hunter gatherers. And then here's what's left of the Battlestar Galactica and the colonists.
Right.
Coming to Earth to accelerate things.
So in the next issue, they do explain what a wormhole is, and they do it in a way that I liked, where it both gave credence to it's a separate universe, or it's further in it could be, you know, billion years in the future or whatever. Because the wormhole is a get out of jail free card. We could do whatever we want. We can go to another universe, or we could just go somewhere else in this universe, or we could travel through time. We don't know. Just depends on what Peter David wants us to do. I believe that's exactly what they said, word for word.
Yeah. And so Sheba was Spock. So, you know, quite frankly, I did not remember the Sheba character until I started reading this. I remember Apollo's sister, who was really, really an attractive brunette lady. Who was a warrior too. And I did not remember Sheba, but then apparently she's Kane's daughter. And apparently she's really smart because she says a little something about, you know, didn't want to stay in the military forever. She wanted to get back to some kind of, you know, research or whatever. Well, I guess that was enough to tee her up as the smart science person that knows how to explain what a wormhole is. Anyway, I was kind of surprised about that.
I don't remember And that, maybe you won't either, but how many episodes was she in the original show? I mean, she was definitely in the two-parter with where Lloyd Bridges was in, but...
Yes. Yeah, so she was introduced later. She was like a new character, a new fresh face they dumped in at some point. And by the way, that's June Lockhart's daughter, if you didn't know. So
there's June Lockhart, that name sounds familiar.
She's the mother in Lost in Space.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. And if you think about, if you look at her face, Sheba's face, Anne Lockhart and June Lockhart, it's like you can see the resemblance. Mm. Anywho, I did not remember her until these issues triggered a whole bunch of memories.
Yeah. Yeah, it does look like she's in a lot of the later issues or later episodes.
Episodes, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Okay, yeah, Wormhole. Right. So of course we don't see until the next issue how this interaction plays out. But okay, let's talk about Okay, so Galactica is being attacked by Cylons, but the Cylons are reboot Cylons.
Right.
So
they must be coming through the wormhole already.
Well, exactly. So, okay, so we got Taz Galactica coming through the wormhole into Rebootville. But before they come across to Rebootville, back in Taw's dimension, or maybe time, whatever, time period, maybe it's all one dimension, it's different time periods, they're being attacked by reboot Cylons.
Mm-hmm.
So the Cylons are going back and forth through this wormhole. Or through some wormhole.
Or at least this group of Cylons has come through before Galactica gets to the wormhole, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because that was odd. That definitely was. I was not expecting that.
In the bikini Cylon girl, she acts like she knows what's going on. So maybe they've been going back and forth before now. Because, I mean, so she's being attacked by normal Cylons, right? Isn't that what they say?
So, oh, when they came. Yeah. Yeah, so when
the Pegasus comes to her rescue, those are normal Cylons. But they leave as soon as he gets to her underground cavern.
Yeah, and I have no idea why. Unless, of course, that's all of her many plans. What does she say? And I have such plans for you. Right. So, and she's talking, you know, about Kane and the Pegasus and stuff. So she obviously is the big bad who somehow is involved with the Cylons. It has some control over the Cylons. She's the new, like big head honcho of the Cylons. I don't know. But okay, so who's the dark haired guy who walloped knocked Kane out?
I believe that is. It looks like
was he in the Pegasus episodes?
No. Okay. I don't know who the guy's supposed to be. It looks like Ash from Evil Dead. Wow, what's his name? Bruce Campbell. When I flipped the page and it was like Bruce Campbell had whacked Kane on the head with a gun. I was like, what? I don't remember Bruce Campbell being in Battlestar. So yeah, I do not know who this is.
Does he have both hands?
Yeah, he has both hands.
Oh, damn it. That would be good if it was Bruce Campbell. Okay, I don't want to get too far off on this because I think we're on a good track there, but the artwork is fine. Ships look good. Ships look great. But this I don't know whether they don't have the legal right to use the Battlestar Galactica actors' real faces, or whether the artist just doesn't care. But most of the depictions don't look much like the original actors. Yes, Starbuck is blonde. Yes. Fine. And Apollo is dark haired. Okay, fine. But other than that, they really don't look like the original actors.
I thought in this issue, they looked enough like all of them that I never once questioned who anybody was.
Oh, I knew who they were. Except for Bruce Campbell.
But the next issue, I think it gets worse because, man, some of those reboot actors, characters, I still don't know exactly what they were basing it on because it doesn't look anything like the actors from the actual show.
Yeah, well.
And even the cover, I mean, like that Apollo cover, that does not look like Apollo at all. The one that's standing in front of all the Cylon heads. That's supposed to be Apollo, right?
Oh, I thought that was supposed to be Starbuck. Well, there you go.
Well, either way, it doesn't look like
we have different opinions about who it even was.
Right.
I thought it looked like a blonde person. And just on the basis of that, I thought it was Starbuck.
Really, I thought his hair was brown, so I assumed it was Apollo.
Okay, case in point. Okay, I will admit to this. Kane, you can tell he was going for Lloyd Bridges. And I would say he's probably the closest one. But even that's not that good. I mean, if I did not remember well that Lloyd Bridges played Commander Kane, I probably would not have recognized Lloyd Bridges in the artwork here. And I'm talking about the first issue. I'm not impressed with the first issue either. Although,
you looked at it and knew immediately it was Lloyd Bridges when we looked at it. You were like, hey, that looks like Lloyd Bridges. And I was just like, well, why would he be in Battlestar? And then you had to remind me that he was Commander Kane.
Yes, but again, like I just said, I knew it was Lloyd Bridges because I knew Lloyd Bridges played Kane, and it's like, oh, the Pegasus is in this. So if I didn't have that back, you know, that previous exposure, I wouldn't have known. Mm. Anywho, so how about the XO? I don't remember that XO that's in the comic book at all.
No, he's not in those episodes.
Not in the TV show? Okay, fine. Uh-uh. Okay. And then really there wouldn't be anybody else we'd know because everybody else are like, you know, just pilots and security people that are useless. Right.
Well, they're not useless. They're just not named characters. Don't be rude.
So Kane goes out. Okay. So there's a red shirt guy with a mustache. And then I guess the pilot is the guy with more of a tan jacket. And then the red shirt guy has more of he's got a mustache on, dark mustache. And except for seeing him in the second, like the co-pilot seat, you never see him again. And shouldn't he be going out with Lloyd Bridges? I mean, Kane. But as near as I could tell, Kane went out alone and saw a lizard lady. So.
Well, this pilot here is probably the one that whacks him on the head.
I don't think it's the same person.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. But I mean, well, look at the guy. I mean, he's got lightish hair or brown. He's probably got brown hair. And blue eyes, and he's got a blue turtleneck on of some kind and then a jacket. And now I'm going forward to look at the guy that whacked him on the head.
Yeah, it's the same kind of jacket. It's the same kind of shirt.
I don't think it's the same shirt at all.
Yeah, it's that vertical stripe shirt sweater thing.
It's gray and white vertical stripes, which I will say looks bad.
Right, but it's what the guy, it's what the pilot is wearing too.
I'm looking at the pilot again.
Yeah, look at the where he says, "Sir, I think the planet is hollow." It's the same shirt.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, it isn't. It's blue. It's vertical stripes, but it's like black stripes over a blue shirt. That's what I see.
I think it's blue because of the display that he's standing in front of, because everything has that blue glow around the display.
Well, no, they're exiting the shuttle.
Oh, you're
look talking. At his, it still looks like blue. Yeah, so he's got a really worried look on his face. Oh, sir, I don't know what's going on. Sir, we're getting a transmission from the Pegasus. Anyway, you may be right, but I say that the outfit is not consistently the same at all. Now, mind you, that would explain better, because the pilot is like, he says, sir, I think the planet is hollow. And then densely, Kane says, what makes you say that? And then he explains it. And it's like, I was thinking, oh, this guy's pretty sharp, or Kane's pretty dumb.
Either one would work.
So maybe, I don't know. Okay, so you may be right, although I also say that the look on the guy's face is totally different, and I do not believe that shirt is the same at all. But you may be right. I mean, so Lizard Lady has a guy on the inside? So how is this guy a pilot on the Pegasus, and at the same time, he's also was able to find this lizard lady and tell her about humanity and blah, blah, blah. I don't know.
Anyway, not know.
It's a mystery. It's a mystery.
Maybe he's a skin job.
Oh, well, there were no skin job. Okay, so he is a reboot universe skin job.
Maybe, yeah. Since we know that the reboot Cylons are...
You are right about that.
Are in the universe.
Well, they're on Galactica and on other ships in the fleet.
Right. Well,
but again, how... Okay. Well, we'll find out. It's all part of the mystery.
Needless to say, they don't tell us in the second issue, and I didn't keep reading, so I don't know yet.
We don't know yet. So, but I will say that what I think the guy looks like... I think he looks like Kent McCord, a really pissed off Kent McCord.
And that is?
Kent McCord was one of the guys that starred on Adam 12, the old TV series. And he's the guy who played Boxy in adult form on Galactica.
Really? 80?
Galactica 1980. Yeah, Kent McCord. And he was John Crichton's father on Farscape.
Oh, that's cool. So you think this will tie into Farscape?
I don't think so.
Twist.
With a twist. Anyway, I don't know. But yeah, I did not think Bruce Campbell, but you're right. That dark furrowed brow and everything as he's looking down to Kane, he does look like Bruce Campbell.
And that chin that'll kill.
Nah. If chins could kill.
So anyway, so on another subject, let's talk about the Cylon lady.
Okay.
So in the original series, we do know that there is a race of organic Cylons that created the robotic ones. Okay. But to my knowledge, we never see what they look like. Even like the Supreme Commander always wears that mask, so you don't ever see what he looks like underneath. And in that episode, Living Legend, which is the one that Kane was in, they were destroying a Cylon colony. So you saw a lot of them, but they all wore robes and masks and stuff. So you never saw what they looked like underneath. Mm. But watching it, they did not look like they were...
Lizard people?
Lizard people with long tails, yeah. I did
artistic
not get that
license
out of those people in the robes.
Yeah.
But that artistic to me license. They were wearing robes, so who knows? Maybe they do have tails.
Maybe.
I don't know. But I don't know why this woman is not wearing those robes and instead wearing the as you said, Princess Leia bikini.
Cause they know that young adults tend to buy these things, and so they want to sex it up.
I did like when he's like talking to her the first time, and he's like, and he kind of stops. He's like, "You are a female, right?" And she's like, "Yeah, of course."
Did she say last time I checked?
She says last I checked. Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry. You are a woman, right? Yes. Last I checked.
Right.
Well, I mean, at this time, it would have been right after he broke up with Cassiopeia, so he's on the prowl for a new lady.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
So Cain had gotten together with the whore Cassiopeia?
Wouldn't call her that, but yeah, they were together.
Well, wasn't she a social worker? Anyway,
yeah,
but I think yeah, when the attacks were happening originally, I think she was a
She was his girlfriend 2 years prior to that episode. So
oh, okay,
before the events of the miniseries.
Okay.
Cain and her had a thing, and then he went off to war, and everybody thought he was dead. Mm. She moved on, and then the attack, and then she got with Starbuck, and then he came back, and he tried to rekindle things with her.
Ah, okay.
And yes, it was creepy, because you're like, oh, man, he's so much older.
Yeah.
And there's even, like, a subplot where Starbuck's like, man, he's so old. And then Apollo's like, a lot of the elder statesmen take on much younger wives, and I'm just like, this is weird. This is a weird little sub story in this episode that you have to even draw attention to it. Like, it's not that weird. People do it all the time.
Well, unfortunately, yeah. Rich or powerful people, they do tend to have younger people.
Mm.
Especially when they're mail order brides from Eastern Europe.
So yeah, okay. So maybe that's why he's wanting to hook up with the bikini sideline until he gets whacked on the head.
Okay, that's your point. Okay, there you go.
Mm-hmm. That was
you
it.
You may be right. You may be right.
I hope I'm not. I'm just shoveling the stuff. You know, see what sticks.
That's there. You go. Taking a little different tact, I just wanted to comment on ships.
Mm-hmm.
I think they did a pretty good job with the ships. The Galacticas look like the Galacticas on the show, and the Cylons look like the Cylons on the show, and the Vipers look like the Vipers on the show, and the Base Stars, what little you see. Actually, I think it's the next one we see the Base Stars, I think. No, we saw the base stars
exploding
on this one.
In this one, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So that's all good. But the shuttle. So the shuttle they're taking down from the Pegasus. Now, maybe the Pegasus has better shuttles than the Galactica does. But the shuttle they take down does not look anything like any of the Galactica shuttles that I recall seeing. I did a little bit of research.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two different Galactica shuttles I found. One that I remember, and which is a big, ugly thing, big, ungainly, ugly thing that looks like it could carry like 50 people in it.
Yeah.
And then, which of course looks nothing like this relatively sleek shuttle we have here.
Right.
And the TOS, or the original series, they didn't have like cool Raptors, you know, as like drop ships.
Oh, right.
Like they do in reboot.
They do in the reboot. In the reboot, yeah. One.
Right. So it was like this is a new design. I've never seen that before in the show.
Right. And we saw that same boxy style coming out of the Pegasus in the original series. So they didn't have this one then. So I don't know where this came from.
And the Pegasus is a newer ship. Maybe they got a bigger variety of shuttles. I don't know, but it's new to me.
Mm.
And here's another observation, talking about hardware. So the pilot of the shuttle with Cain, he's turning and talking to Cain, and he's got a over-the-ear headset.
Mm-hmm.
Which looks like it came out of the 20th century. I mean, if you want a little Piper karaoke, a little prop job flight, the pilot would probably wear something just like this. So the reboot series of Galactica had a tendency to try to be more grounded. and less pew pew sci-fi by using things that look more like it's from the 20th century or even older 20th century. So in particular on the Bridge of the Galactica, they had some of their comm things they picked up and used to talk to other parts of the ship were big, huge World War II looking things. You wouldn't look out of place on a battleship from World War II. And I know they were trying to probably get across the idea that the Galactica was an older ship. And the guns, they had modern day guns with just a little bit of tweaks to them. So they still use projectile guns and all that kind of stuff. But so to see a headset like this in Rebootville, I would not be surprised. But I am a little surprised to see it on the original series because they tried to make things look more like Star Wars in advance and they had blasters and...
Yeah, but a lot of times their tech didn't quite pan out. And watching these two episodes, I mean, so much of it looks like stuff from Radio Shack that, like the buttons and stuff just look like, oh man, that looks that joystick that you're flying the Viper with, it looks worse than the Atari 2600's little joystick thing.
Well, so I remember there actually, I remember there was an episode where Starbuck and Apollo were someplace and they were trying to search for something. And so they were separated. So they had little headsets on and there are these skinny little wiry things.
Oh, really?
You know, a little more high tech. Now, mind you, the inside of a shuttle might be noisier. So you may want to have something that's over your head, but there's a precedent already in the original show that they had pretty cool little lightweight, you know, headset radio.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's just an observation.
That's a good one.
And, yeah. Good.
I'm good.
Anything else?
No. Oh, I'd add one more thing. The covers, the toy covers. I really like them.
Yes, toy covers. Yeah, they are kind of cool, aren't they?
Yeah. So I don't know why they started doing it, but I love the toy covers for Marvel, DC, He-Man. They've all done it where they where their covers are looking like old toys, like old Kenner toys. And okay. I'm a big fan, because man, they look good.
Okay, now I'm sure action figures like this actually existed, but they were probably never put together.
No.
In a single blister packing or
egg,
whatever they call them, in the retail biz. It's cool. It's cool. And then, but I got to tell you, some of these look like crap.
They're supposed to look like those old, like they would have looked like in the '80s, like the Kenner Star Wars.
Okay. But like that, the Baltar, the reboot Baltar.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he looks all fat and his suit's all tight and stuff. And like James Callis is not a big fat guy at all.
He looked like the first Doctor. When I first saw it, I was like, why is the first Doctor here? Oh, wait.
Okay. Baltar. There you go.
Yeah. No, I agree. He looks weird.
Yeah. And the face doesn't look that good either. But I got to say that the old Taz Baltar, the head looks right. The face looks right.
Yeah, no, it looks just like that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say the Baltar one, the reboot Baltar, is the worst looking one out of the bunch.
Yeah. And that original Baltar is one of the better looking ones.
Right.
Adama, you know, old Adama looks pretty good. The Lauren Green one, he looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Anyway. So how do they make these anyway? I mean, because this does not look like a drawing. I mean, they actually look like real plastic figures.
Yeah.
Did they locate plastic figures and bring them together and they did the artwork for the blister packing or what? Or this is somehow all Photoshop?
It's all Photoshop. Digital artwork. Very talented artists.
Well, yeah, I guess so. It looks real.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, no, it, and it, sometimes I've gone through the comic book store and it caught me where I would like walk by and I would see like a like a superpowers Superman or a classic Star Wars character, and I'm like, oh wait, they made an action figure of that person, and then I look over there and I'm like, oh, that's just a comic book. So
just a comic book. Comic.
Yeah, sometimes they look really good, even just sitting on the stand. It'll trick you to think that it's a real figure. Huh. Good stuff.
Okay. Yeah, it looks very realistic. Okay, issue 2.
All right, let's do it. So issue 2, it has a February 2018 date. Several covers. All the credits are the same, so I won't go through that since Ken did it. The first cover is by Aaron Lopresti, and it has the classic Starbuck and Apollo in the foreground with their blasters, and then behind them we see Adama from the reboot era, and then behind him again we have the classic Cylon helmeted head. The next cover,
isn't that reboot Starbuck or Apollo?
Is it? I thought they both have the big chunky TOS guns.
Oh no, no, no! The guys in the front, I completely agree with you, but in the back, the reboot, the guy in the back.
That's Apollo?
I think. I mean, look, his hair isn't hair. Really gray.
Yeah, well, it is gray.
There's some shininess on it, but it looks like it's dark hair.
Yeah, and he doesn't have the glasses. Oh, whatever. So maybe it is Apollo. All right, good point. Thanks for pointing that out. Needless to say, it doesn't really look like anybody. I had to guess who Apollo and Starbuck was just because of their hair color and the guns that they're holding.
Yeah, faces don't look like the original actors at all.
Mm-mm, no. All right, so the next cover is by Johnny Desjardins, and it shows the Lauren Green Apollo, not Apollo, Adama, with a Cylon head like on a table in front of him. The next cover is by Michael Adams, and it's the toy cover. So on this time, you get two Galacticas. So you get the classic 1978 Galactica, and then right beneath it is the reboot one. So this one kind of looks like a Hot Wheels type packaging. Still pretty cool. All right, next cover is by Roberto Castro. And on the left side, we see, I'm thinking it's Apollo with his blaster shooting off to the side. And then from the classic era. And then on the right side, I think is also Apollo, but from the reboot universe. Cover 2E is the same as the first one, but black and white. Same as 2F is the Apollo Cylon head one, but in black and white. And that's it for the covers. I think there's also a Virgin cover that has no logo and stuff. All right, so story starts off with the classic Battlestar and its fleet being sucked into the wormhole. So instead of fighting it, they just decide to lean into it, and they come through the other side and find themselves transported into the reboot Battlestar universe. They are on a headlong collision with the reboot fleet, and they barely miss smashing into their counterparts. Communications ensue, and the classic crew take a shuttle to meet their updated counterparts. Commander Adama, the classic Commander Adama, does point out that his updated counterpart technically outranks him. Introductions are cordial enough at first, commenting on how call signs in the reboot universe are actually the actual names of Apollo, Starbuck, etc. from the classic universe. Pleasantries seem to come to a screaming halt when reboot Adama notices classic Apollo looks just like Vice President Zardak. Starbuck and Apollo are put into the brig, and Zarek is ordered to also be escorted to the brig. Meanwhile, the two Adamas talk about the similarities and the divergent histories of the two universes. So the classic timeline has robot Cylons being created by organic Cylon rays, while the reboot Cylons were created by humans themselves that then became sentient and overthrew themselves, or overthrew the humans. Both universes had their colonies destroyed by the Cylons and are now on their way to Earth. Eventually, the Doctor looks over Apollo and Zarek and determines that they are both indeed human, not Cylons, and that they are also not clones of each other. They just happen to look very, very much alike. Everyone is then allowed to leave the brig and intermingle with their counterparts. And we see that the Starbucks join in on a poker game. Elsewhere, Commander Kane is now on board the Pegasus with the Cylon woman from the first issue, and they're about to enter the wormhole, and she cryptically comments that he would be amazed on the things that she knows. To be continued.
Okay, so we've got Lizard Lady on the Pegasus with Kane, who's no longer unconscious, and they are flying through the same wormhole, I guess.
We guess.
That Commander Adama and the Taws Galactica and the colony ships, or convoy, whatever you want to call them, flew through the same wormhole. So we're going to have all three battle stars in the same space.
Right.
Okay.
And maybe the Pegasus from the reboot universe will show up with Captain Ro Lauren. Was her character Kane as well? I can't remember.
Yeah, she was Kane.
Okay.
Only they flipped the gender. The gender.
Was it spelled with a K, though?
Yet another gender flip. Oh, I don't know how they spelled it. I don't know how they spelled it. I mean, it's the last name, so.
Right.
I'm going to guess it was probably C-A-I-N, but I don't know.
Well, in Alien, Kane's last name is spelled K-A-N-E.
Oh, okay. Whatever.
So, definitely there at the end, it's kind of weird because he being Kane, doesn't seem too upset that he got knocked out in the last issue. He's just helping the Cylon woman go through the wormhole. Definitely opens up a lot of questions.
Oh, yeah. Like, why would he be going? Why is he doing what she wants?
Right. And where's the other guy?
I want to find out who. I definitely want to find out where Bruce Campbell is. I want to confirm who he is. And how, and if it is the pilot, he's got to be a skin job. So,
right.
Anyway, I want to know that.
So I want to just take a second to go back to the first issue. Because I had one more comment, and I'm so surprised you didn't bring it up. So when Kane is leaving the ship to go find the Cylon, and his XO is like, "Oh, you shouldn't go. It's a trap," you know. And then
he sounds like Riker,
right? But then Kane says, "You know, before this happened, I was about to relinquish my command to you. So I guess I picked the wrong day to step down." And I was laughing so hard because Lloyd Bridges plays the guy in Airplane.
Airport.
Or Airplane. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And his whole joke is that, it's the wrong day to quit smoking. It was the wrong day to stop popping pills. You know, it was like
day to stop sniffing airplane glue.
Exactly. So when I read that on this issue, I literally was laughing out loud because I was just like, oh, Ken is going to jump all over this.
I did not connect that at all. But you're right. You're 100% right.
All right. Sorry.
That's awesome.
Again, Peter David, he's a great author. He just brings in all these little random tidbits that, if you weren't thinking that, oh, this is Lloyd Bridges from Airplane, you would not have thought anything about what he said. But if you do think about it, you're just like, oh, that's so funny. Oh, that's so good.
Layered comedy. Like it. I like it. That's great. Good point. I totally missed it.
So the Starbucks kind of getting chummy. Do you think they're going to get chummy?
Oh, you know it.
And isn't that kind of weird?
Yes, it's a little ooky.
So,
however, they're two different people. Although, when there's a part, I forgot exactly where it is, but they got like the look on his face. Yeah, where he says, "I'm literally beside myself." So the male Starbucks says that, and then Kira's like in the panel right next to it, and she's looking at him. And they've got almost the same look on their faces, which is right. A little bit of, they both have the chiseled nose, which, by the way, I don't think that nose is accurate for Katie Sackhoff at all. Mm. But they both got the eyebrows kind of down, like they're like a little on the intense side. And I think right there, they're like looking into each other's eyes saying, "Oh, we're going to do this eventually." Anyway.
Yeah, and then doesn't the reboot Apollo say, like, seriously? And she's like, "Oh, yeah,
yes.
I ain't got anything else to do," or something like that.
That's funny.
So anyways, yeah. So I thought maybe they would get together here, but it seems like they're just playing poker.
Yeah.
But well, if it turns into strip maybe, poker in the next issue, then I'm going to be like, called it.
Okay, they started out, though, in the hangar bay. And then they ended up walking into some quarters where they're playing poker. So you don't know all the places they went to in between. Anywho, okay, let's talk about artwork.
Okay, yeah.
Now, it's just going to be more of what we said before, but now we got a lot more artwork happening. And it's the same guy on both, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, Starbuck is blonde, yes, and he's the right age, and he's in the right clothes. And then female Starbuck is Kara Thrace, whatever, is in the right. She's blonde. Her hair's kind of long though, because I remember Starbuck having shorter hair for most of the series, but maybe her length changed over time. I don't know. But the facial features, nope. It doesn't look like Dirk Benedict, and it does not look like Katie Sackhoff. And I think that one of the worst things is I really do not think that Commander Adama looks anything like Lauren Green.
I thought he did, but yeah. Overall, he doesn't.
So I went ahead and grabbed a picture of Lauren Green just so I could remind myself of what he looks like. Mm-hmm. And he's got kind of a roundish head. And this guy has, or this drawn version of him, does not have a round head at all. It seems very long. Gary Cooper, kind of long, square jawed, whatever.
Right.
He's got the gray salt and pepper sort of, but more. Anyway, it's in the ballpark, so you know who everybody is, but they do not really look like the actors.
Right. Yeah, and then even like when he's like looking at Apollo, classic Apollo, mm-hmm. and Zarek.
Yep.
Yeah, I would not have known who that was except for the dialogue balloons telling me that that's who it was.
Yeah. That doesn't look like Richard Hatch.
Right,
old Richard Hatch or young Richard Hatch? What?
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
but again, the dialogue's so good because I mean they do tell you who each one is, so I wasn't lost. But then I even like when they're talking to each other and they're like, he's like, my dad's this Adama, and he's like, well, he doesn't look like my dad, It's just like,
nah,
it's kind of funny.
Yeah, and then you find out Zarek's background.
Yeah, it's pretty dark.
Which is like, did they say that in the show? Or did Peter David just make that up? I don't remember
I think they mentioned that he had a rough childhood, yeah.
Okay. So that whole thing. Are we done with people not looking like the actors?
No, to me, the biggest one that, like you said, most of the time you can figure out who it is.
Yeah.
I could not figure out that this one woman was the president at all.
Oh my God.
I mean, she's in a
Can we
very,
talk about that?
A very, very tight miniskirt. Yep. Looks like she's like maybe 18, you know, just like she's on the bridge, and I read through it and I'm like, I didn't put two and two together that that's who it was until like pages later. And I'm like, oh, that's the president.
That's the worst. That is the worst drawing.
Yeah.
Just because of the fact that the age is totally wrong. And the outfit, could you see what McConnell, what was her name? An Irish name or a Scottish name, the actress.
Right.
Well, whatever her name is. You know, she was like, what was she, 60 or something?
Oh,
I mean,
no, she
was. She was up there. She was up there. At least upper 50s. Whatever. Mary McConnell, something like that. She was older. I mean, look at Adama. I mean, wasn't he like 60 at least?
Probably, yeah.
Edward James Olmos. Anyway, they were both up there. They were mature. They were in leadership positions. I mean, she was the stinking president. So what are you going to have a 20-something business school hottie in her, you know, business suit top and her little tight mini skirt on? Give me a break. Anyway, so they must be doing this again, like I said before, about the reason they got the alien lady with an ample shape and the metal bikini. It's all for sex reasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. That's all.
Yeah. I just looked it up. She was about 50, or she was a little over 50 when they started filming.
Okay. So. A little over 50. Okay.
Yeah. Fine. So yeah, almost 60. So, wow. I did not know she was, I mean, not that 60.
She was no spring chicken. No. And she was age appropriate for her character.
Yeah. Right.
This is not.
No.
Oh my God. It's not.
Yeah.
Now they didn't young up Olmos, and they didn't young up Lauren Green guy. So what's the deal? Anyway.
Whatever. Don't they make a joke about the Exo's eye, missing an eye?
Oh, like, yeah, it doesn't. I think Starbucks says something about one eye or something.
Yeah, I thought that was
a
little mean. Poor guy.
Well. He kept on wanting to space him.
Good point.
So, I mean, that's all he wanted to do. I mean, that was most of Colonel Ty's dialogue was basically different things to that these guys, you can't trust them, space them. Anyway. Okay, so let me just... Okay, I just wanted to say, let me see, can I get back to that thought I had that I was going to take us away from? Is there anything else as far as drawing?
No, that was my main thing about drawing.
Okay, when Adama starts screaming, security on the double, and then wants to throw them all in the brig, it's like, I had no idea why.
Yeah, me
it's
either.
Like, what's he doing? I mean, he wasn't this much of a jerk. What happened? And then they brought in the whole Tom Zarek character, and of course he was played by Richard Hatch in the reboot thing. And of course Richard Hatch played Apollo in the original series. So the idea that they brought that into it was cool and unexpected.
Yeah.
And that's something I kind of like about these books. Is, I mean, they're pretty accurate in some of the interactions the two crews have with each other. It displays a knowledge of both shows.
Right. Oh, yeah, totally.
Which is quite good.
No, I'm 100% with you, and I like that it's consistent, right? They acknowledge that they may have the same name or something very close to the same name, but they're not the same person, which I like. What I don't like is what Star Trek did with the Kelvin universe, where Spock meets up with Chris Pine and he's like, oh, Kirk, haven't seen you in a long time. You know, he's like, he immediately knows because he says that he looks like the Kirk he remembers when he was young. And then later in the comic books, we actually had scenes where they acknowledge that Chris Pine doesn't look like Captain Kirk, right? When they would like go through the wormhole or whatever that got them into the Prime universe, the Kelvin universe, they would comment that the Spocks look different, the Kirks look different. So I don't like it when they're not consistent. It either is the exact same person and we, the watcher, are just seeing a different actor play the same person, or it's a completely different person and it needs to always be a different person. You know what I'm saying? Am I making sense? Yeah. So here, everybody recognizes these are different people. They just happen to have the same or similar histories and names. Mm-hmm. I don't want anybody to like walk up to Lauren Green and say, "Hey, Adama, I haven't seen you in a long time." Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, so I'm pretty sure Peter David will keep it consistent. And I know that the whole Kelvin Prime thing is, you know, just so many different writers not keeping it straight.
Yeah.
And we even have to also, Lauren making quite jokes frankly, about three Spocks.
Oh, right. And quite frankly, J.J. Abrams, I don't think he cared that much about being accurate or faithful to anything. I mean, Roberto Orci was there, and he was a Star Trek fan, so he knew about stuff. And what accuracy we did see in there was probably coming from those kind of people. And I just don't really think, I mean, I love the movies, even Into Darkness. I like that movie. It was my least favorite of the three, but I just don't think they were that interested in any kind of continuity or being faithful to anything.
Right.
But, which unfortunately is the way the, a lot of Discovery was, but.
That's true. And now we have Section 31, which is also kind of the same thing. Just like it's in Star Trek name only, but it does not really fit in.
I agree with you. Okay, so by the time anybody hears this, whoever listens to this, it's going to be months from now. But Donovan and I, the Section 31 movie just dropped to howls of derisive laughter from almost everyone. And we just watched it, and it's not good. It's not. It's just not. It's not Star Trek. And
right,
not really.
Yeah, they drop one big Star Trek name, right? They have Rachel Garrick in it, and she's actually kind of age appropriate for where it's supposed to be. Because at first I even balked at that. I was like, oh man, that she should be a lot younger. But I kind of did the math, and I'm like, okay, that fits. But aside from that. That show was just, it did not fit.
Because the people that wrote it, they're not writing Star Trek.
Right.
They're writing some kind of weird Mission Impossible thing that they have some Star Trek references in it.
Right.
Anyway, it wasn't good.
And at times it almost felt like a Men in Black thing. Cause it was like, is this supposed to be funny? I mean, you had characters that were supposedly all armored, and yet you could see their skin poking throughout the cracks in the joints and stuff. And I'm like, he's either supposed to be all robotic or he's organic wearing a robot exoskeleton. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah. So the guy that was like wearing the quote mech gear.
Yeah.
They referred to it as mech gear.
And there was shots where his sleeve was rolling up. So you could see like his wrist and stuff was normal. Mm-hmm. And he was wearing a glove and you know, the stuff. So I was just like, it really disappointed me.
Yeah.
I went in there with low expectations and I was still disappointed.
Yep. So did I. Low expectations. I had heard too much about it. One reviewer had compared it to sort of a Suicide Squad for Star Trek. And it's like, okay, like a James Gunn one. Well, I guess either one, but more the James Gunn one, where they try to slip in all this funny banter, which whoever the writer is, you ain't James Gunn. And your funny banter, 99% of the time, missed the mark big time. Yep.
Agreed.
Anyway.
Agreed. All right. You want to get back to
Battlestar? Yeah, let's get back to this. Okay. So can I make a comment?
Please.
I love that they've got the reboot Doctor in this one.
I didn't really remember him, so.
Oh, he was. I liked him just because he's a chain smoker. And the irony of having your doctor, one of the few doctors you've got, being a chain smoker, I just always found that to be very funny about the character. And they brought that into this. The first time you see him, first panel, he's smoking. So I thought
he had a couple of good lines where they're like, he tells them that they're not the same person, and they're like, but he looks like him. And he's like, why ask me if you're just going to,
exactly.
Why are you asking me for my opinion if you're not going to listen to me? And he's like, okay.
Exactly.
I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah. He's a crusty guy. He's a crusty guy. Something that didn't quite make it into your synopsis, but when Admiral Adama calls for the Marines to come up and arrest them, arrest mm-hmm. everybody and throw them in the brig, Starbuck pulls out his blaster, is somehow able to get a pistol from one of the guards, one of the Marines. And quite frankly, the Marines look like they're armed with rifles, you know, machine guns.
Right.
But somehow Starbuck gets one of their pistols, and he's two-fisted. He's got his blaster, you know, pew, pew, blaster. And he's got, you know, basically a good old-fashioned gun, you know, projectile weapon that also has the little, you know, grenade launcher on the bottom. And somebody says, or somebody, and maybe it's Starbuck, he says, yours looks way nicer. Somebody says that. And I think it was Starbuck commenting on the projectile weapon. And it's like, I disagree. I always enjoyed the original TOS blasters that they used in Battlestar Galactica. I always thought they looked cool. They look big and menacing and hefty. And I always liked them.
Yeah.
Whereas on Battlestar Galactica, you know, the pistols are fine, but they're just slightly modified modern day pistols. That's it.
Yeah.
Now the first season, it was way modified, a very modified revolver. But then after the first season, they were just using automatics that they just pretty much just stuck something that looked like a grenade launcher on the bottom of the gun. It really, they didn't put much work into it. Again, maybe making it more grounded, or the technology, at least some technology, a little bit more like modern day that we could relate to. Yeah, but they didn't have laser pistols. So
yeah, or maybe they thought that if they didn't go the laser pistol route, then it won't date the show as bad. Because I mean, watching those old shows, I mean, like that and Buck Rogers, I mean, mm-hmm. it really, really dates the shows.
What? Because they use lasers?
Yeah, just because the effects aren't that great.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. Yeah. Well, when you think about it, you know, projectile weapons work pretty good. I mean, you can still very easily die from a projectile weapon. If you need to go up a guy with a laser, you're probably going to do just fine if you have a pistol. But anyway, I thought that was pretty, you know, Clint Eastwood of Starbuck. Two pistols. And, you know, putting the gun right up against Admiral Adama's head and basically saying, I don't think you're going to put us in prison.
Right.
That was pretty gutsy.
So what did you think about all of the vocabulary jokes? So
in Felger Carb?
In the classic show, so many of their words were just interchanged with new made up words, like yes. Centon and what did they call it? What it was a year a Yarin or something like that.
Yarin instead of a year. Yeah. And Battlestar Galactica did that a little bit.
Right. But I did like
how the reboot.
Yeah. So I liked how when Classic was seeing how many Yarns it was, and then Odama exactly. calls him like, what is that? Oh, you know, how long it takes for our planet to go around the sun. Oh, a year? It's like,
couldn't you just said year?
But then
yeah, they
oh, go ahead.
No, they simplified things in BSG the reboot in a lot of ways.
Right.
Yeah.
But then later when Apollo sees an older version of himself, he says, "Holy Felgercarb."
Felgercarb. Yeah.
Yeah, what is that? I didn't catch the joke.
Oh,
is that a real curse word?
Yeah, it's kind of like it's they used to say it all the time, Felgercarb.
In the old show.
In the old show, yes. Now, in the new show, they say frack instead of, well, you know, F-U-C-K.
Right.
And did they say, I think they said frack in the original one, too. So I think that's one thing they carried over.
Hmm.
But then they also used to say Felgercarb. And okay. What exactly, how was Felgercarb different from frack? Longer? I don't remember. But
I do like how like reboot Starbuck is like, that's the name of a toothpaste.
And it's the last tube that I have.
And she's like, well, what do you think? What does it mean in your universe? And he's like, oh, I don't want to tell you, you know, or something like that. It's just like, yeah. And now I'm like, I want to know what that means.
Well, watch a few more episodes and you'll get it from context.
Sounds good.
And of course, the whole toothpaste thing is a callback to the last episode of the, or if it wasn't the last episode, it was like the penultimate one, where Starbuck has a pilot briefing or something, and she slaps the last tube of toothpaste on the whole ship. I didn't know she was going to give that to somebody that did a particularly good job killing Cylon. I don't remember exactly why she put it up there, but it was like, good point. You're going to start running out of stuff after a while because you right. don't have all the manufacturing facilities to make everything. You don't have replicator technology. So I thought that was an interesting reference.
And there's no Space Vegas to just replenish your stock.
Exactly. Okay, well, I have one last comment, and I'm done.
Okay.
After they finally get the test results and they know that Tom Sarek and Apollo are not skin jobs, then Reboot Apollo invites original Apollo to see the ship. And then Apollo says, is there a bar? And then, of course, Reboot Apollo says, yes. And it's like that whole idea. I mean, I don't know if you remember the Apollo character that much. I don't know how much exposure you got to him in that Living Legend two-parter, but he was a goody-goody widower, father, Boy Scout. And then Starbuck was just the opposite. He liked to drink, he liked to smoke, he liked to gamble. So they were like two polar opposites. And saying this is not consistent with what Apollo would say, unless he is that broken up over Tom Sarek's childhood. His childhood story. It's just not consistent with the character.
Yeah, I get you. Maybe he was just thirsty.
Maybe he was just there you go. Yeah, Does Richard Hatch have blue eyes or brown eyes?
He has green eyes here.
Well, or blue eyes. It depends upon the panel, but he seems to have blue, maybe green, but definitely not brown eyes.
Yeah, anyway, I don't know. I haven't spent a lot of time gazing into his eyes.
No, neither have I. But I did take a few photos from the web when I was, you know, preparing my my comments, and I'm looking at two photos of him: him as Zarek and him as Apollo, and it looks like he's got dark eyes.
Mm.
Anyway, whatever.
Okay.
Okay, so we're fully set up for this 6-part story, Donovan. So what are we going to do next week or next episode?
My vote is to read 3 and 4 of this series.
I think you're right. I mean, why not build up our Star Trek inventory?
Then we won't have an issue until the end of the month, so.
Yeah. Okay. Well, okay then.
So we're set? 3 and 4? We're set. Nice.
Yes. So episode 444. Ooh, 444. We'll be doing the next two issues of this fine miniseries.
So far, yeah, really good.
Okay. Anything else to say?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay. Well, thank you everybody for joining us on the review.
Thank you for listening to Star Trek Comic Book Review. All Star Trek stories and characters are copyrighted CBS Studios Incorporated. All music, stories, and characters discussed are for entertainment purposes only. You can email us at startcomicbookreview@gmail.com. Visit us at our website, www.stcomicbookreview.com. Subscribe to us via iTunes. Or friend us on Facebook at First Name, ST Comic, Second Name Book Review. See you next time on Star Trek Comic Book Review.
Let's get the hell out of here.